So the first couple of people, we have Maxine Dugan and then Mike Donaldson. Maxine. And can someone time? Okay, Fadi, can... Okay, thanks. Just let us, let Maxine know when she could start.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Maxine Dugan, and I'm a new programmer at KPFA. I'm with the KPFA Labor Collective. Thank you. I love, love, love KPFA, and I love, love, love Pacifica, and I love, love, love democracy. So I hope, with saying that, I hope that you can receive this criticism in the spirit of which it was meant. I just really want to support this board and all local station boards to get to board school, that they all need to go to board school. Do not go PASCO. Go directly to board school. One of the important things that can be learned at board school is how to make a motion. And maybe one of the more important things at board school that can be learned is how not to make a motion. So I think in the spirit of democracy, we have to think about how it is that we do our very important work in bringing democracy over free speech radio when we at our board level need so much help in bringing democracy in our own boards. There are nonprofit groups that teach board school. They teach how to run a meeting. They teach a variety of skills. To think that those of us who have reproductive capabilities and have practiced that on many times, to assume that we are good parents just because we can and do and have is not true. So just because we sit on a board does not mean that we have the ability to be at our highest level when we come together to do the very important work that we do here at Pacifica and at KPFA. So thanks for your time for that.
Okay, next we have Mike Donaldson, and then Robert Knight. Okay, Robert Knight.
He's not here yet.
Okay, then we'll move back to him. Annie Hallett. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Annie Hallett. I'm in my second session as a listener rep at KPFA, and I've been involved with the station since 1949 when I was a child performer in the experiment that we all love so much. The subjects of transparency and violence have been raised this weekend by listeners, staff, and LSB members alike. Transparency, seeing through, brings to my mind the milk cow at UC Davis who had a window of plexiglass cut into her side to show her inner workings. This word choice implies to me hidden as bad and viewer or inspector as good. Here, simplistic polarization creates us and them, division. I prefer a holistic process for review of station business with checks and balances built into the infrastructure. I call for luminescence, light within the system, which radiates from inside to out. Violence, Latin, violare, means to bear in on with force, and it's come to mean injure, dishonor, outrage, violate. Now, animals compete and prey on one another in a balanced, sustainable manner, but not so humans. We devastate each other. My experience is that the most disturbing aspect of KPFA violence issues is bullying. Behavior which is aggressive, devious, manipulative, spiteful, and vengeful. True leadership is built on trust and integrity. I urge the Pacifica Board, in conjunction with the five stations, to develop a code of conduct which applies to all Pacifica members, listeners, board, and staff. This must consider violence on websites, violence in email, violence in meetings. My observation is that the current fad of violence watch uses tabloid titillization Inappropriate leaks of internal matters to newspapers and outrage as a tool for political self-propulsion, and it perpetuates violence. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Weber and then Bob Fass.
My name is Jim Weber. Monday or Friday, there were 24 speakers. 14 of them, I believe, were the people who I suggested are trying to take over the foundation and Pacifica and KPFA, people who do not believe in free speech and violence. And I want to mention two of them. One of them is Steve Seltzer, who claims to be the labor collective person for KPFA. I think the labor collective is a fictitious organization of people who are not connected with labor. And I do believe that there's none of them listen to the station, and because they don't believe in democracy and free speech. And the other one I want to mention is Richard Phelps, who his performance Friday was very interesting. He came here with his business suit on, with a tie, and he started out by saying, "I am an attorney." Now, that there's nothing wrong with that phrase, except it was intended to mean, "I'm dangerous. You beware of me. I'm an attorney." He said, "I have my attorney clothes on. And when I go to court, I wear my attorney clothes. And you don't want to go to court and see me there with my attorney clothes, because I'm dangerous." Now, that was a threat to this board, just like he threatens the LSB in Berkeley at every meeting. These are representatives of a group of people who hate democracy, hate free speech, and want to take over Pacifica.
Thank you, Bob Fass, and then Conrad Oho. I'd prefer not to do that, but Conrad Oho, moving things forward. Next is Sylvia Ledesma.
Hello, everybody. I just like to provide a little kind of overview perspective on Pacifica and its history and where it's headed and what the times, the opportunities are presently. We have the beginnings of, in a pretty unorthodox way, people wanting to do free radio and depend on volunteers and free donations from the heart from listeners. That was revolutionary in its time. And we have an opportunity to do a similar thing now with the advent of the Internet. And there's an issue of offering archival material and from all the stations in the network, and also additional material that can be produced and offered to Pacifica for archiving and made available on the Internet to listeners. Now, this can expand the listener base, and I would suggest that this is an important thing to do, and to open it up, give it away, and then make an appeal at the beginning and end or end of each sound file that is offered over the Internet to, if you see in your heart that you like this, what we're offering you, please help us support this activity and make a donation to Pacifica. So this is in the spirit of the founding of Pacifica, and it's a way that we can continue this in the present. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sylvia Ledesma.
Good afternoon. I'm Sylvia Ledesma. I'm a visual artist, construction worker, and I'm really concerned about the lack of programming for the Latino community and Spanish speakers, and I really believe that there's a need for us to address issues, cultural issues and labor issues, because these are the times that we live on here in New York and elsewhere, and I think it's a definite need that we need to communicate with those communities and reach out and come back and make an effort to empower everyone, including the board and including the communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Zeltzer, and then Jeff Blankfurt.
Yes. Yesterday I mentioned the need for national labor programming and proposal. So we've drafted some proposals for this national labor programming. One is the AFL-CIO convention on July the 25th in Chicago, and to have various viewpoints at that program on what's going on within the labor movement. The second is on Labor Day, a national day of programming on Labor Day, including having the stations have programs that can be brought into this national day of programming, which would be very useful, and also the issue of the right to have a union, the right to organize. Right here in Berkeley, this past week, the Doton Ford workers, or Doton Honda workers, were fired. The union members were fired, and they're busting the unions right here in Berkeley. And there's basically an epidemic of union busting going on around the country. I think if we were to focus a national day of programming on working people on Labor Day, we could have examples of that throughout the country and bring in the different affiliates in that and get support from all unions, the AFL-CIO, the SEIU, many unions who are concerned about the right to organize, including the fight at Walmart. And the third national day of programming that we're proposing is around September the 24th, which is going to be a national protest against the war. And our suggestion is that each of the stations develop some programming in the community, how the war is affecting them, labor, youth, and others, and that we bring that together nationally and publicize it nationally. Besides having the speeches at the rallies, we actually have local programming and tie it in together. So I hope that we can get some action on this national programming and be able to build the network and build the value of Pacifica Network nationally. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Blankfurt and then Richard Phelps. Richard Phelps.
Good morning. Actually, it's afternoon again, and since I've already been introduced, I won't say any more. Yesterday, a person spoke about the cost of governance. And, you know, that really bothered me, because what was conspicuous in the absence in that statement was any discussion or thread, really, or any focus on how to reduce that cost. The essence of that speech was, they really don't want democratic governance because it costs too much. Well, I want to remind everybody here what not having democracy will cost us. 1995, KPFA, over 100 programmers fired in one night. Most of those were community people, and a great number of them were people of color who did damn good programs, but didn't fit into the healthy station format. Major sin back then. What else did we get from not having democracy? Mary Frances Berry's Reign of Terror, with the possibility of selling off some of the stations. Gee, that would have been fun, wouldn't it? What else do we get without that? Let's see, what was it? About $1 million or $2 million worth of legal fees and security guard fees? $4 million? Yeah, I mean, that's what we get without democracy. But more importantly, what you get without democracy, and I'm not talking about U.S. democracy, which is the best democracy that corporate money can buy. I'm talking about our process, which I think is not perfect, but it's a lot better than, you know, having one or two people tell everybody what to do. What you get is arbitrary decisions, no due process, no transparency, no accountability. And the only people that would ever speak for that, in my mind, were people that have enough arrogance in them to believe that they've got the power to control the patronage and cronyism that exists. Nobody else except people that feel they can do that
time.
Are going to be against democracy. Can somebody give me a little more time?
I'll give you my time.
I mean, that's the thing we have to think about. Why do people want to not have a democratic process? Because they feel they've got control already. You know, George Bush doesn't want democracy. Do you think the Trilateral Commission wants democracy? Nah, they don't want democracy. Do you think the people that run Saudi Arabia want democracy? Hell no. They got the oil, they got the army, and they got U.S. military bases now. They got everything under control. So I think we really need to be serious about trying, you know, and our democracy is in an infant stage, and we need to get it to adulthood. And that's going to take some time and work. And there are people, clearly, articles have been written during the election, people bad rapped it. There are people who don't want it to get to childhood even. They want to kill it off now. I want to change subjects right now. I just want to say one other thing to you folks. I do appreciate all the time and work you put into this. I may have political differences with you, but I appreciate the work you do. But I want to talk about another subject. I've been hearing rumors. They've been online. They've been everywhere. That some people on this body want to give our outgoing ED $50,000, $75,000, stuff like that. Well, I've heard those rumors. I just want to tell you something. If that man gets a dime, one dime, I will donate no more. I've given thousands, more than that amount of money to this thing over the years. I will give the minimum I have to get reelected for the rest of my life, because that will be my money you're giving to a man who has wasted democracy, who has fought transparency, and who has set a precedent of, you know, things that I don't even want to talk about in terms of patronage and cronyism that we have to live. And if you give him money, you're saying that what he did in the last 2 years was worth something. So please don't give listeners money to somebody who wouldn't allow director's inspections.
Okay, next, Maria Gallardin and then Joseph Anderson. Maria? Oh, sorry. Mariah Gallardin. I'm sorry.
I want to start out by apologizing to anybody who I might offend. It's really hard to not draw with a brush, big brush, in 2 minutes. I want to say something about the symptoms of competition, lying inside Pacifica, needless lying, which is especially galling, and apparent theft of resources and money. I want to say that that is the result of an organizational structure to a large extent that we inherited from Pat Scott and Mary Frances Berry that has never been questioned and changed. We have now internal hierarchies that breed competition and dissent. We have not just a two but a three-tier pay system that also breeds competition. We have a bizarre NPR-like executive producer system where we have the executive, the assistant, the associate, the helper, all the way down to the last slave at the bottom of the pile. We have privatized airtime. We have really followed the corporate model and the WTO. And we always had to deal with the issues of ownership of time within Pacifica. But now the ownership is even paid for. So program changes have become almost impossible. So that is all. That organizational structure is poison and needs to be changed. And I want to say something really quickly to the lawsuits. I personally had many reasons to sue. I had reasons to sue for libel. I had labor issues with Pacifica. I had issues of sex discrimination.
Time.
Yes, it does apply to women as well. White women. Thank you. And I now have the honor of having age discrimination issues with Pacifica. I chose not to sue because I could never find a lawyer who would just sue for me without and work for free without asking for money back. And I always refused to take the money from listeners that would come out of such a suit. And I want to urge everybody who is suing already or thinking of suing not to sue. But if we make that appeal to people who want to sue, we do need to make a promise, all of us, you as the national board, the local boards, the managers, we need to make an issue out of resolving the differences that lead to suits.
Thank you, Mariah. Joseph Anderson and then Bruce Bagnoli. Okay, well, we're getting close to the end, so y'all should keep that in mind. Bruce Bagnoli and then Sharon Bagnoli.
Is that Bruce?
That's Bruce?
Yes.
Okay, Sharon?
Yeah, I just have 30 seconds, and then I want to yield the rest of my time to Bob Fass. My sense is that there's, what I see is that there's ghetto infighting going on at the various stations, and my understanding ghetto infighting is that it is symbolic, it is symptomatic of powerlessness, and today in the way the culture is going and the way our country, the straits, dire straits that it's in, we need Pacifica to step in its true into its true power. And what I think of is something Buckminster Fuller said, which I paraphrase now. He said, in order to have something new, you don't spend your time fighting what you don't like. You create a new model that makes the old model obsolete. Thank you.
Okay, Aaron Ahrens. And then after him is Ivan Olson.
I guess I'm indirectly part of this great conspiracy that one of the earlier speakers talked about, although I speak only for myself and perhaps for the 80 people who put me first on the ballot when I ran. It wasn't enough to come close to getting me elected, but it showed that other people agree with my basic premise is that what Pacific and KPFA and all these stations need to be is a voice of against the ruling class, against the capitalist ruling class, and against the whole system. Not, we don't need an abstract free speech that makes room for the speech of those who already have too much. We need free speech for among people who want to fight against capitalism, against sexism, racism, against imperialism, national oppression, and all those things. We need to argue the various issues that come up. We need to be open to a wide diversity of viewpoints, but we should be coming at everything from the point of view of how do we fight to end the oppression in the world, to change the world, basically. I saw a news department statement basically saying that they don't consider themselves to have the job of being a balance to the ruling class media, but rather a balance in themselves. In other words, they want to include ruling class views equally with anti-ruling class views or views of oppressors together with the views of the oppressed. In the meantime, you know, using up half of the precious media we have, while, of course, the ruling class media, if they give like 0.1% of the time to views of the oppressed, it's a lot. So let's make it clear. Let's stand for the fight against capitalism, imperialism, racism, sexism, and all these things, and for the fight to change the world one way or another, and let's discuss how.
Ivan Olson and then Mary Berg.
The only reason I'm going to say these three words, because I very, very rarely hear them on Pacifica, except Guns and Butter. Israel, Israel, Israel. And what I mean when I don't hear those words, I don't see it openly talked about. We can criticize our own government, but people seem to think if you bring up how much influence Israel has on our government, they seem to label you and call you names that you're not being fair and open. So I'm pleading and begging everybody to less open the discourse of how much influence APEC or Israel government has on our own government in an open, fair, let's talk about it. Let's not talk about it. In other words, let's not criticize people for wanting to talk about it. Thank you.
Mary Burke. And then after Mary's, Fernando Velasquez.
We are talking a great deal about democracy and other such terms. Nobody in this country, at least nobody who was born here, has ever been taught how to do it. In fact, we're taught from day one in school how not to do democracy. We are taught how to compete, get one over on your fellow little schoolmates, how you can be brighter and sharper, how you can get more of the pie, and we're taught that all along. So it's not surprising that we can't practice it here, and we're not practicing it here, as people have said. But we could start. We could start by thinking if we would let go some of the talk for power, power for a little corner here, power for a bigger piece of pie here, and simply come together with at least one person, make common cause on something that you feel passionate about, forget what they think about other things. Begin to do this, because if we don't, we are balkanizing ourselves, and I mean the whole entire left, out of existence. People like Jim Hightower advocated this, making common cause with Pat Buchanan. And we need to do this sort of thing, and we need to do it practicing it right here on this board, on our local boards, in our stations, and we have to stop demonizing people whom we think are other. We're not other. We were all on the same side until we had a settlement, and now we're all eating each other alive like a horrible autoimmune disorder. Why don't we start to get over it? Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Fernando Velasquez. Okay, Ted Freeman, and then Michael Leedy. Sorry.
I just want to congratulate the National Board for, I feel, working together rather harmoniously and getting things done. I'm pleased that you've overcome some of your factionalism, and I hope we're going to be able to make equal progress on our local station board at KPFA.
Thank you. Now, Michael Leedy. And then Gerald Sanders.
We told our listeners that public comments started at 2, so I think that we should allow people arriving to sign up.
Thank you. Okay, if there are others that are coming in, William, can you take those, or Max? Thank you. Go ahead.
Michael Leedy. My name is Michael Leedy. I'm a subscriber out of Richmond, California. And the reason why I'm coming here is just to discuss the open access to the books. It's my understanding that a director was denied access to books at least on one occasion. And I'm, as a subscriber, I want the directors of this organization to take the money that this organization takes in seriously. And if the director who is supposed to be in charge of this organization can't get access to the books, what happens to my money? I mean, I don't understand how that could be. There's been some discussion about the protocol involved, and you know, when a staff person is presented with a demand for the books, and so I think what the board may want to consider is to develop some rules of engagement, and then execute it, make sure that it's a policy that's followed, because you know, there have been discussions about what's an appropriate way to handle this, and I think if there's a set of rules of engagement that are written down, then there won't be any fuss about this anymore. We need to get this out of the way. Any business will tell you that if you don't know what you're doing with your money, you're going to fail. You may think that you're making money when you're just paying the bills, and this is a nonprofit organization, but it's still a business. So we need to handle it like one. So please, let's try to develop a set of rules so we won't have these issues come up again.
Thank you. Gerald Sanders.
No, we sent a letter.
Anyway, yeah, I was criticized by Director Warren, my friend Donna, for not properly identifying myself before. You know, we ain't got but 2 minutes, Donna. And she said, look, you was on the board. Sit up here and play like you ain't had nothing to do with this. Well, all right, it is true. My name is Gerald Sanders. I was formerly on the board. And that's one of the reasons I'm so adamant, you know, about this disclosure and some of these other issues, because I know I understand very clearly how important they are. I'm also a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and the International Longshoremen's Union here in San Francisco, and I'm also a member of the labor collective at KPFA. So I think this is a very important moment in the history of Pacifica, and I want to appeal to any of the positive feelings that you have in you to understand this is not just another meeting. This next 3 months, there's not going to be another 3 months like this for years to come. If you pick a real executive director that supports the mission, that knows how to work with the public, that doesn't succumb to cliqueism and mutual backscratching to save his ass, I'm serious. Then what happens is, you want, all right, his posterior, we don't want to pull down the, look, what happens is we can actually start to accomplish something. All of our volunteers have left the station. Nobody want to be bothered. Because, and it all fish rots at the top. you get an ED in there, and we can start to turn this situation around. And that's what we're talking about at People's Radio when we talk about a new beginning. Keep that in mind. If there's anything left in you that's really for improving the situation in Pacifica, and some of you do have that in you, now is the time to dig deep and bring it out, because we need a new beginning, believe me. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald. Stan Woods, Reva N-Team, and then Bob English. Stan Woods.
Hi, I'm Stan Woods. I'm a member of the KPFA Program Council, as elected listener rep, and I'm a former member of the Local Advisory Board. But I'd like to talk about Houston, not the Bay Area. KPFT really was groundbreaking in the 1970s. I was part of a generation of working-class Southern radicals who were enthused when we heard about the creation of KPFT. This was long before the Internet. I think the Pentagon was the only one that literally had the Internet at that time. And people would literally listen to, people in Houston would listen to, or Western Louisiana, I think it reached that level, would actually type out transcripts of programs of KPFT and have it published in underground newspapers, radical labor newsletters, new left papers, and so on throughout the South and throughout the country. And when the station withstood its baptism of fire, the bombings by the Ku Klux Klan, the routine harassment by the police and right-wing vigilantes, the death threats, all of that, that was a real victory, and a lot of us really appreciated that. Then we saw what happened, of course, in the 90s, Garland Gantra trying to destroy the station from within. I'm not saying the situation is as serious now, from what I understand, at KPFT as it is in the 90s, and certainly not as it was in the formation in the 70s. But I'm very disturbed by the downplaying and the disadvantageous relocation of political programming at KPFT. To move flashpoints from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I can't help but be suspicious of weren't some politics behind that. Flashpoints is a very controversial show. To have Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! Only on, and move it from 7 p.m. to its time that it's on now, also raises some questions. To take off some other shows altogether also raises some serious qualms. I'm not going to exaggerate. I'm not saying things are going back to the bad old days of Garland Ganter, but I'm very concerned that a progressive, even radical alternative voice is maintained in what is, I believe, the fourth largest metro area of the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Reva Enteen, Bob English, and Linda Hewitt.
Hi, I'm Reva Enteen on the KPFA Local Station Board. I want to start with a statement from Ibrahim Gonzalez, WBAI producer. He wrote it last night. Financial accountability at the local station and national levels is not only an ideal, but is an absolute necessity for the fiscal solvency. If disclosure of prior expenditures are not made available, the board must guarantee that any and all financial information will henceforth be made available to all PMB members upon reasonable demand. Pacifica must implement and enforce a no-tolerance policy against violence in the workplace. As a Latino, I believe that factionalism and the opportunistic use of identity politics has negatively impacted our airwaves and has created a hostile workplace. The Pacifica airwaves carry the moral imperative to foster a world culture which promotes a broader understanding of the causes of human conflict in order to then arrive at a more evolved and conscientious approach toward peaceful and principled resolutions. Now, I want to add a few words. There's some muddy water happening here. Last I knew, peaceful pickets did not equal intimidation or violence. Last I knew, speaking to newspapers is not the same as intimidation or violence. Last I knew, urging listeners to attend an LSB meeting to demand a discussion about violence at the workplace is not violence or intimidation and would not require a security guard. Throwing metal chairs over the air in a room full of people is violence, last I checked. Stepping outside to duke it out with someone is violence, last I checked. Just want to clarify that. Question that I'd like somebody here to answer is, do we have a hired security guard for this meeting? And finally, I'll repeat what I said last Friday, which is executive sessions, decisions of executive sessions require that the decisions are given to the public. There's no advantage to us having a democratically elected board if your decisions are done in secret. We dubbed it yesterday, you're not doing executive session, you're doing secret sessions. And we need to know what you've decided. We will hold you accountable, and that does not mean violence. It's just accountability. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Bob English. I won't, don't expect any rants from me today after, I guess we've all been to a few parties last night. I'm not feeling real energetic. However, I am still concerned, and one of the discussions yesterday had to do with the topic of the interdivisional loans and the issue of the $1.5 million with KPFA, and it was explained that this had to do with the legal expenses that the old board had run up, and I'm very much aware of that issue and that money that they spent on our behalf, because I was part of many listeners from the KPFA Bay Area, and I know that they did it in New York too. We stood out in front of the offices of Epstein, Becker, and Green on a weekly basis. We gave up our lunch hours. We did it however we could. We handed out thousands of leaflets to the public, telling them what Epstein, Becker, and Green was doing and explaining what the situation was at KPFA. So I'm very concerned what happened with that money, and I'm glad that none of it should have been paid to Epstein, Becker, and Green and all those consultants. However, that account, what wasn't explained yesterday, was that account continues to grow to this day. I'm understanding that between fiscal year 03 and up to September 04, that account grew by $144,000, and I don't believe that the members of this board were ever informed of that or ever asked to sign off on that, not your finance committee either. So that still needs to be audited. Okay, and it amounts to, if that's true, then it basically amounts to the national office just taking the money from KPFA without anybody's permission, and that needs to be returned along with whatever else is owed from before. Now, I want to say something about Sasha Lilly's statement yesterday about the expenses of democracy and government in this organization and the supposed attacks by whoever on staff and on her CWA union. The expenses that we've seen here.
Time.
I
see
my
card,
Bob.
And your name?
Linda Hewitt.
Thanks.
Thank you. The those expenses, the real expenses and the real financial problems, as you heard yesterday, that we're having at KPFA have to do with a period of unchecked hiring and growth in paid salaries over the last few years during the period of the interim general management. It's not the expenses of democracy. Furthermore, as far as attacks on the CWA and the paid staff, that union wrote a letter to this. Wrote a letter to KPFA management, which was read aloud at a prior PNB meeting, denouncing representatives on RLSB who they felt were creating a potentially hostile work environment at the station by their statements. Now, that letter was sent 4 days after the LSB passed their resolution affirming the time change of Democracy Now. That was no coincidence. But now, when we have an actual incidents that show that there is an actual, real unsafe and hostile working environment at KPFA, that union is silent. So are the staff, and so are some representatives on the LSB. Now, that's the other point I wanted to make. I complained about the LSB not taking up certain issues that are of interest to the listeners, like the issue of violence and abuse in the workplace. Well, I don't mean that the entire LSB, there are still people elected by the listeners who represent their interests and who want to take up the important issues and who want to make changes there. But there's a block there, a solid block of the staff representatives and people who are supposed to be representing the listeners on that board and who say they're in favor of things like inspecting the books. But when it comes down to it, that's not how they vote. So that's the problem we have there. People voting in blocks, and people who come up here and make flowery statements about unity and everything. you know, please go back and practice that on your LSB. You know, work with us to make the changes that we all said we were going to make when we fought to take back this network. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I came here yesterday, and I was, as always, very interested to hear the perspectives and the mentalities of people on the board, as well as the general managers and the listeners and people that participate in this station. As I've said other times when speaking at this microphone in other locations, this is the Pacific is the reason I was born, so it's pretty important to me. Things that disturbed me that I saw yesterday. It's a long story. I'm concerned about the fact that I'm hearing a lot of corporate lingo when people are talking about things. Raising money is crucial, but it must not become an end unto itself. And I feel that there was a style of presentation that seemed to border on where it's dangerously. Sometimes we become, you know, we think we need money to get things done, and it can cross the line. I have a personal gripe about the shift away from in-house thank you gifts towards the high-priced premiums bought from such capitalist bastions as Amazon.com. This squanders a significant percentage of donors' money, and many donors assume the premiums offered have been donated by authors, publishers, record companies, etc., and would not choose the expensive premiums if they were informed. The money which these premiums cost specific stations could be better used, I believe, to produce special programs in-house, which would show concretely the value of Pacifica as an information outlet rather than relying upon others. And then finally, rather than the continual talk that I've heard by the board and station managers about how to woo the middle class and upper class donors, I would like to hear a lot more discussion about encouraging low donors. I heard a little bit of it from some people here, to involve the working class and immigrant communities. And there should be more ways of allowing that to happen so that they feel that $1 or $5 is a valuable and appreciated contribution. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Samira Shah. I'm a community member, and I was here speaking yesterday in support of Hard Knock Radio and resources being allocated to that program. However, yesterday I didn't get to also touch on another concern of mine in the 2 minutes, which is violence at KPFA and the need to hold people accountable. It's interesting because I feel like my time here and yesterday listening to other people's comments, I've definitely taken notice that a lot of people have touched on this issue, and I've heard of other incidents, but the one that I'm particularly familiar with involves a serious threat of violence that was made against the executive producer of Hard Knock Radio, and that to me is a very big concern of mine. I think people, you know, who are perpetrating violence against the staff members at KPFA and the other stations definitely need to be held accountable, and I think it's really a big contradiction if they're not held accountable, you know, when KPFA and all the Pacifica stations have such amazing programming talking about, you know, the need for peace and such issues and social justice, when, you know, Pacifica itself won't actually enforce that amongst staff members and, you know, management and hold people accountable. So that's why I'm here to speak out today as well, and I just want to make it be known that I think it's really important that, you know, those issues need to be addressed, because I don't really think that that's a safe environment, and it's not conducive to people working productively, and I'm very concerned about that. So I really urge you to take a strong stand against violence, and in particular I'm referring to the incident that occurred with executive producer of Hard Knock. Thank you.
Statement that yes, there was security hired for the meeting. That yes, there was security hired. Yeah, and we weren't aware of that, or I wasn't aware of that, so I apologize for misspeaking. Moving on to, no, we're not going to get into this discussion. We're in public comment. Namani. Namani. And then next is Nicole Milner. Go ahead.
My name is Namani Moktavani, and I am a local listener and donor. I guess I'm one of those $5 donors for the last 7 years. So I guess that's probably about $600 in the last little while here. I just wanted to speak about the community of listeners, and it's probably Pacifica overall. I own a local record label, and one of the ways that our music first got out was through Hard Knock Radio. We've gone on to sell over 100,000 copies of a locally produced album, and expect to have a huge national release of the second album in August 16th. During that time, we actually used the Pacifica Network. The artist that the label puts out is named Guapale, and we've been on the station in D.C. She's been on the station in New York. Obviously, Hard Knock was kind of the beginning of that. We expect much bigger things. But there's a very limited amount of programming throughout the network that reaches our generation and our population. I would like to see that grow. I would like for when I'm the average age of this room, for there to be programming that I felt like represented me while I was continuing to grow up. So I think it finding more time. I'm not saying you're old. I actually am looking back at, in 99 when there was all this controversy around the local station, I felt like I was really young. That was 6 years ago. I'm 30 years old now. Hopefully 20. All right. So anyway, I think you get the point. I'm specifically here on behalf of Hard Knock Radio, just in terms of what they brought to us and what the important voice that came out of a lot of the struggle that happened locally. And I would like to see that spread nationally and supported locally and built more locally. Thank you.
Nicole Milner.
I'm Nicole Milner. I had a couple of comments. When I heard Lonnie Hicks speak last night or yesterday, he was talking about conundrums, and he said, for example, the two examples I remember, that some people want more staff, some people want less staff, some people want national power, some people want local power. Make up your mind, what do you want? And that seemed so simplistic to me, because I could see where in some cases you want certain staff and other staff is not useful. Obviously, this is a national organization, but we've been wanting local power also. They don't have to conflict, even though it's more complex. And I feel like a lot of issues are put in that way. I also want to say that I'm concerned about the security guard. I was thinking about that since yesterday. I noticed he was always walking around as if something bad's going to happen, and I didn't know if that was a requirement for the national board. So I would like to see that not only looked into who ordered it and let the people know what, how it came about and why. And to the degree that I understand the rumors, I was not present. There was somebody spoke about the threat to Hard Knock Radio as a program. As far as I know, there is no threat to it continuing. And as to the incident, I again was not a witness. But as far as I know, nobody was threatened. They were loud voices. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Robert Knight.
I would like to thank the board for hearing me today. And believe it or not, I come with a message of warning and actually of hope as well. There is, however, a storm before the calm. I would like to state officially and for the record that I am deeply alarmed by the behavior of WBAI's ex-manager and his actionable, serial, and multiple libel of myself and abuse of his confidentiality responsibilities as a unit manager in the Pacifica Foundation. Many of you are aware of a particular memo that the ex-manager has circulated that has been all across this country to the deleterious effects on my reputation and the 25 years of work I've put in. I didn't lose my mind into this institution. You may not be aware that there are other similar memos the former manager has circulated to the public in order to disrupt and neutralize my work and those of others of like heart within the Pacifica Mission. In fact, one of them was done only a day and a half after the former executive director at the New York board meeting spoke with great passion about the confidentiality of personnel and employee matters. The next day, he did this. We will discuss this in private. These things, as the former ED said, are actionable. Now, I did not spend a quarter of a century at Pacifica to cripple it or bring it to its knees, so I trust that we can righteously and privately redress these issues. But mine is not the only reputation and work that has been attacked by the regime that has currently been in power at WBAI. The things that have happened there have been egregious in their misconduct and in their abandonment and deviation from the Pacifica Mission. We have had a programmatic regime that has specialized in audience alienation. It has specialized in anti-intellectualism, race baiting. It has resulted in the worst quality and content of the broadcast on our air because the criterion now is not excellence, but personal loyalty to the current program director. We have seen... I've been dead. We have seen the anatomy of a failed Pacifica Mission at WBAI. We have seen the favoritism of the program director bringing in broadcasters who claim that the word Jew comes from jewelry, who say that black folks should stick with the melanin and not associate with the smelanin. We have heard people encouraged by our program director tell us that Panama is an island. The program director has also engaged in the kind of behavior telling people that Robert Knight is hanging with the white folks who want to fire all the black folks. That is not the only kind of disruption and destruction that has occurred there. One of your colleagues, a director here in this room, has been prominent in spreading false tales that one of the administrators at WBAI has spoken out for justice and producers' rights because her motivation is affectional rather than ethical. That director is in the room right now. This is not the fault necessarily of you as the directors and board of Pacifica, because there has been a regime inside the station called Justice and Unity whose primary goal and mission has been to protect the former manager and the current program director from administrative review. I come here to this meeting and I see flashes of light. I see sparks of belief in the Pacifica Mission, and I do have a hope that once again that this board will not, as in the previous regime, both nationally and in New York, be treated as a CIA director, as the director of Central Intelligence once said, as mushrooms and kept in the dark. As I say, I have hope today. And I believe that as you restore the Pacifica Mission through your administrative good offices, that you will find there are many friends with you along the way. There are friends like my great colleagues from WBAI, Bob Fass, Ibrahim Gonzalez, Sidney Smith, Bill Weinberg, the department heads at WBAI. Will someone yield? The department heads.
Wait, you're not on the list.
The department heads at WBAI, Kathy Davis, Janet Coleman, Jose Santiago, my colleague, my great lover of Pacifica out here, Dennis Bernstein, who at our program, Flashpoints, does indeed raise more money per unit time than any other in this network, unless you count the days they don't pitch. I also want to say that in support of women's rights, women who have historically and in fact today been deprived of their due for all the work they do in the society, none of us can deny that. Dennis Bernstein has always worked with the most powerful, intelligent, and prominent women in this world, and not every one of them has been ethical. We have hope in the form of the new manager at WBAI, Indra Hardat, who is so dedicated to the Pacifica mission and who is surrounded by pockets of resistance but will prevail because of the good offices of this board. I would like to thank our host, Roy Campanella, for an excellent venue here. I have found him to be ethical and open in my every encounter, and I only wish we might have had a manager like him in New York. And finally, I just want to say that we have a great hope. There are many issues that would try to stop what this institution was born with. We are on the 55th year or so of the mission. Blue Hill and of Pacifica, and we are on a great battleground as to whether my station or any station so nobly conceived can long stand. So I believe that it is possible for us to have a new day to return to the old traditions of the true Pacifica. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Stop by time. Thanks. Thanks. I also want to thank Robert for one time putting me on the air late at night with Larry Bensky. Actually, this is about music. Larry Bensky and I sang I Dreamt I Saw Joe Hill Last Night, and we changed it to I Dreamt I Saw Lou Hill Last Night. And now I think maybe I should have changed it to Spike Milligan's song, They're Moving Grandpa's Grave to Build a Sewer. I would like to say I have seen moment after moment in the 43 years when we thought this crisis is going to kill us. This crisis is not going to kill us. This crisis, Lou Hill said, in a crisis, expand. And the solution to many of the problems that I heard here about programming is podcasting. And Why not get a bunch of iPods or some similar contraption and use them as premiums?
That's right, just like they did in the beginning.
Okay, that's really about all. Thank you all very much. And the only other thing I want to say about music is one of Robert Knight's problems began because the program director didn't like hearing him say that the program director had said to him, you play too much white music. So, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Joseph Anderson. And then Kurt Gray and Otis McClay, and we're done.
My name is Joseph Anderson. Somewhat of an inside joke here, but sometimes known by Jim Weber sitting off to my right as the puppet master of People's Radio at KPFA. First of all, I would like to interject. Reva Entin said, spoke about people who challenged other people to go outside and duke it out. And on one event, that was Larry Bensky challenging me at a public meeting. Larry Bensky, a grandfather of now a six-year-old daughter, who challenged me at a public meeting to go outside and duke it out with him. My real purpose is, Chandra Hopman is not here, but I hope she's listening at home. And Chandra Hopman is the listener community rep on the KPFA local station board. And she's also a member of the new subcommittee. Chandra last night most graciously opened up her home until after 1 a.m. in the morning to people who attended the PNB, and I'd like to express my appreciation of that by offering her, in her absence, from Esterlina Vineyards in Philo, Anderson Valley, Mendocino County, which produces exceptional wines in limited quantities. For the second time in the last 3 years, Esterlina's Pinot Noir was awarded a gold medal for its 2000 Pinot Noir. Modesty prevents my telling you how much this bottle costs. I want to say I have no financial interest in Esterlina, nor is this an advertisement for anything but my appreciation. So that's to Chandra, who I hope is listening at home. Finally, I would like to ask, when is the chair going to inform us who made the decision here to hire a security guard for this meeting? Why? Using our dollars? And upon what basis? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Kurt Gray and then Otis McClay.
Okay, I'm going to be very direct about this. My name's Kurt Gray. I was a former local board member elected. I helped write the bylaws and involved in the reform that created this board here. 12-year struggle. As I understand it, the board of directors are personally financially liable for the health of the foundation and the realization of its mission. I think that the behavior of various staff and management at both the local station and national level point to the likelihood that there has been actions that may be illegal and would definitely be unethical. If you act to shield any of this or fail to act decisively to investigate or put it right, you can and will be held personally liable. Okay. Please. I only have a few minutes here. Also, when it comes to voting to fill management positions both at local and national level, the paid and unpaid staff reps on the PMB and the local boards should recuse themselves because it's a conflict of interest to directly vote on these issues to fill positions that might be your colleagues or bosses. We have an unfortunate precedent that seems to be developing, and we need to nip that in the bud. I think you have a governance committee. You should look into that, or you may be liable. The reason the Democratic bylaws have been expensive and have failed to get the work done is because there is a planned and concerted effort to make sure Democratic governance fails by the very people who say it doesn't work. Finally, if there are any moves to change the bylaws to strip the subscribers of their members' rights to representation and participation in this foundation, I will join a lawsuit against all of you. Thank you.
Here. Otis McClay.
As a staff member, and of course I'm not speaking as staff, I'm speaking as a member. I am a member of Pacifica. I have been a member for some years. I think there's an interesting dynamic here. We're seeing this table, and then out there are the people. I can remember, Teresa would remember in Houston, remember? We did that first meeting, we had everybody up on the stage, and then the people, and then we changed that. We moved it down into the group of listeners. My understanding of the lawsuit, or the three lawsuits that were brought, one of the significant changes that those lawsuits brought about was that members, people who pay to be members of the Pacifica Foundation, they're not donors, they're members, have standing. They actually have standing. A member can go to the court and has standing to bring an action. What this comes about is, it seems that the 2-minute limit was the most important thing in this event here. And I'm curious why we would not want to be listening. One of the purposes of listening is to find that theme that's out there that's consistent. And we've heard a consistent theme here. about transparency and about breaking down the difference between the leaders and the followers. And I think it's really important that we listen and hear. Richard has said he, as an attorney, will hold us, there it is, 30 seconds. Right. He will hold us to the things that he understands are characteristics of that lawsuit. We need to know that. We need to know that as staff. We need to know that as representatives of the listeners. You were all elected. And I would just like to see that culture evidenced more visibly. I think it's really appropriate. I think it's appropriate that this group is part of that group. And you get stuck with getting yelled at. But that's why you're there. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for being here and doing this work, because I know it's tough.